Thanks, June, for providing us with this opportunity.
It's fine.
Could you tell us about when you first started at Lachlan Park?
It was 1946. I was 18, and I was training then until for 3 years until I qualified. 1949, I married, and I was never allowed to be on permanent staff or pay superannuation because that wasn't recognised by the government in those times. It wasn't until much later with Whitlam. Changed things, and suddenly the pay was much better. You know, I was actually a charge nurse, you know, and getting just ordinary qualified money, but it made a big difference then.
So when you started as an 18-year-old, what were the conditions like for staff in those days?
Well, you didn't know any better in those days. I mean, things have changed so much in the years. You had a hook, probably in a bit of a cloakroom or something to put your coat on, you know, and uniform was provided. There was the laundry. You could still send cap or uniforms to the laundry or veils later on, but There was not even a toilet on most of the wards. I started in what was M Ward at that time. It's now the Backpackers Hostel or something there, that ward. It was the female, and they did have a few very, very young boys, but it was a female ward, M Ward. And there was no private staff quarters at all, nothing. If you lived in the home, you had to go back to the home for anything you wanted, but I didn't. I lived at home.
So if you needed to go to the toilet during a shift, what did you do?
In the patients' places, yes. And then I went from there to what was the hospital ward, which is now the antique building there on the corner. That was the female hospital, and that was much the same. You had a hall that you walked into, and there were three pegs or something to put your coat on or something, and they did have one toilet at the back near the boiler. You had to stoke the boiler at that time, even though you were nursing, and right beside there were about three toilets with one that was just closed off for staff, but that was the best there was there also.
And so
marvellous.
The boiler was for keeping the water
warm? Keeping the water. I don't think it was for... No, it wasn't for warmth of the place. There were fireplaces still.
Mm-hmm.
An open fire in with big guards around, you know, but very big logs. The back rooms in the hospital ward, no heating. No, the water used to run down the... trickling down the... walls.
And what were the back rooms used for?
Patients.
And they didn't have any heating in those rooms?
No.
So in the winter time it would be condensation
cold,
on the windows?
Pretty awful. Yes, but in the other big wards there were big fireplaces. But one, it still didn't warm the whole place, you know, no way, no.
And who kept the wood up to the fires?
The patients, male patients, or from the... what did they call the right up the avenue was the wood yard, you know, and they used to bring male patients, I forget what they called the male attendant, with a group of patients would come and put the wood there, ready for you to throw in, but they'd stoke it for you when they came, you know, but not for the rest of the day usually. They brought the meals. Right up that side one where the wall is in Humphrey Street, that was called Flinders Lane. And they used to come right up there to the hospital ward and M ward.
With the wood truck?
Just with the lorry, carts mainly. No, they carted all the food and that on rails, you know, huge containers. And that was for most of the wards.
So when you say on rails, how did they...
They had... a couple of people or four people, you know, on rails, or they weren't even wheeled. No, they just carried the things in those days.
From the kitchen to the...
Mm.
Okay, yeah. So the food was kept warm in some way?
It was, yes, it was pretty warm. It was covered over so much, you know, it was... yes, that was okay, yes. Well, not as well as we would have it, I suppose, but fair enough.
I can imagine in the winter time, if the food was in those containers, the temperature of it when it arrived on the wards, was there a means to heat it up again on the wards?
No, it was plonked on the tables, you know, we're all in the kitchen and dished up there.
So it sounds like back then, when, like in the middle of winter time, with the condensation running down the windows and the food coming in, you know.
Well, the food would come into a warmer place, which was kitchen or scullery, as they called it, you know, that wasn't so bad. And there was plenty of food and good food,
mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. No.
Yeah. Some of that food would have been grown on the farm, but.
Oh, I suppose so, yeah.
The gardens,
I never thought about that much. There's quite a big farm there, yes.
Mm.
Patients worked on the farm. Yes, all of that now is where their homes there now, that was farm right through that way.
That's on the top side of Glebe Road?
Mm. Yeah. Yes.
So which ward did you start on as a young 18-year-old?
M
ward.
Which was the children's ward, yes. Okay. They were all just alphabet then. The male wards were just A, B and C right down in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Then the first time I came to New Norfolk was when Dad came here. It was in the Depression years, and I would have been about seven, I think. And Dad came to work as a bricklayer on D and E, and they built D, E, F and G there. And then, that's right, the old wards were A, B and C, D, E, F and G, all male then.
Mm. So
at one time, the whole lot was on that side, you know, on the Willow Court side, nothing, no buildings on that side. And then we went back to Launceston, and Dad, they then advertised for staff, male staff, for the wards there to be trained as psychiatric nurses. And Dad jumped at the chance to come back and do that, and he finished up as radiographer in the park, and third officer. I think he was second officer when he died.
So as a bricklayer, he was involved in building some
of
those...
D&E, it's got 1935 up on it somewhere, and that was the year that we first would have come back, 1935, and it would have been a couple of years after that back for him to start. And it was called a government job then, full-time, you know, you were employed unless you did something pretty dreadful to lose your job.
And how long did you have down here with your father when he was a bricklayer?
I think it was probably difficult to remember that. It would have been a couple of years, I reckon. Yes. But I had mixed schooling, you know, with Launceston and New Norfolk. Mm.
And so your father, by the sounds of it, he would have started in the hospital in about 1938?
Yes, it would have been,
before
yes. And then in war, he joined the army. There were about four or five of the warders in the all joined together. Joined the army, and Dr. Crabb was there at that time. And I think Dr. Crabb was also went into the army, and that was one of the reasons that Dad followed him. He was very fond of Dr. Crabb, and he was trained then in the army as a radiographer, and came back to. Royal Derwent.
And he worked as the radiographer for how long?
Oh, until he died in 1961. H ward, and that's gone completely. H ward, I ward was the refractory ward, which was the worst, and that's also gone completely. HI, J, the ladies' building, which is still there. J. And K1, K2 was the tower, part of that still there, but not the tower, of course. And from Kay, you then went to the female hospital ward, which I said is the antique place now. H ward, and then M ward was the children's.
Mm.
All the wards were initials, no, not numbers, and most of them didn't have names like Olga and, you know, all those names.
What was your family name before you married?
Herbert.
Okay. So that your father would have been in the list of people we were trying to, you know, when we did the display for the...
William Robert.
He enlisted from the hospital. Well, there you go.